This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All things come to an end, and about 12 and a half hours ago, so went fire season for 2021. At least in this area. Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm curious, yesterday afternoon we saw the rain of about almost a half inch of rain in some areas around Roseburg and probably varied other places as well. But just exactly what led into making that call yesterday?
So back up a little bit farther to the last round of rain we had. We got the managers together and kind of was trying to figure out what our game plan going forward was. And we didn't get quite as much precipitation as we'd hoped. And the other big factor at that point was the new green grass shoots hadn't really taken off yet. And that's a huge indicator for us when fire season's either over or getting really close to being over, because if you do have a fire with those green grass shoots, it really retards it and causes it to not spread very quickly. So going into this last shot of rain, you know, just before that, the grass had really taken off all throughout the area. We made some trips throughout the county and got some pretty good measurable rainfall. And then a lot of our remote weather stations, we can also calculate fuel moistures from there. And we're back up to that point where, you know, not saying fires can never happen, but if they do, they're not going to move quickly and be, you know, very devastating.
So it sounds like you've got a real methodical process and you've got to look at a wide part of the region, just not one area.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the questions we get a lot of times, especially in the summer when we get a thunderstorm or a shower or something, is, you know, you can get a lot of precipitation that dumps in one particular area, but if it's not across the entire district, we can't really make changes or adjustments. It's got to be wetting across the entire area.
And so yesterday, do you have a meeting before you decide to do that, or did you kind of agree to all those things and you could see they'd been met?
Yeah, you know, going into it yesterday, you know, we were pretty much all on the same game plan. Is if the precipitation came along like it was forecasted to, we were going to go out of fire season. And once the rain started coming down, we quickly decided that we were to that point and got the message sent out, and here we are today.
So for people around Douglas County, whether it's folks that have companies working out on some of these lands or just the average person in town or in a rural area, what are the changes they should know about?
So basically, once we go out of fire season, that removes all the public use restrictions and industrial fire precaution level system restrictions that are in place through DFPA. So there's no more restrictions on mowing dry grass or chainsaw use, any of that stuff that was listed in the public use restrictions. The other big one we get asked a lot this time of year is campfires. So, you know, there are industrial landowners out there who don't allow fire on their land any time of year. But if it's your own property or if you have landowner permission, you're free to have a campfire now. The other big thing with homeowners right now is, you know, a lot of people are trying to get, you know, debris piles cleaned up and burned before things get too wet. So there's no longer permits that are required from DFPA. However, some rural fire departments or fire departments inside incorporated cities may have different restrictions. So I always encourage people to check with their local fire department before they burn. But if they are going to burn debris, again, just because it's rained, we're not in fire season, doesn't mean nothing can happen. So make sure that you have fire trails around the pile. You have fire tools on site, just like you would any other time of year. Don't let your guard down because it's wet right now. Because if it does dry out and the sun comes out, and, you know, it only takes a handful of days for things for the dry grass to potentially burn again. So we want to make sure that, you know, people are being safe while they are using fire as a tool.
And what about for companies working up on these lands?
Yeah, for the industrial landowners, there's no industrial restrictions in place through DFPA anymore. So there's no more shutdown times. Fire tools or fire watches are no longer required on the work site. And, you know, people can go back and do good things.
So at this point, do all of you just go home, go on vacation, or what happens?
Well, you know, a lot of our staff is seasonal. So we started losing some staff when college started again. And, you know, some of the people who stuck around who weren't going to college, you know, here in the near future will probably be laid off. We do keep a handful of engines on for a little bit longer just to make sure, you know, we don't have anything that sneaks up on us. But we do also have a co-op program where we keep a number of our seasonal highly trained firefighters, our forest officers, and our advanced firefighters on doing other projects. And this ties back to a number of different things, including, you know, the FireWise program and defensible space work and things like that. So we keep a number of people busy through those projects. So we'll be transitioning from, you know, full force fire season, you know, starting to get, you know, fire signs put away and not winterizing trucks, but, you know, getting them ready for the winter and, you know, shifting gears from a full fire force to, you know, a number of different projects.
So do you get a lot of folks that are students in college that during those 2 or 4 years return every summer?
Yeah, you know, we really do. And, you know, it works out great for them because they, a lot of them, you know, they're looking for a job while they're out of school for the summer. And our fire seasons really line up pretty good with what they have. So, you know, we have our fire school there, whether they're a returner or a new employee from mid to late June, right after they get out of college. And, you know, we keep them on throughout the summer. A handful of those kids, you know, are going to college elsewhere, you know, universities throughout the state or elsewhere. So we don't normally keep them on, but the students here locally through UCC, while we're still in fire season, we'll keep them around doing, you know, weekend work or working around their schedule just so we have that extra staffing.
And I imagine, I mean, it seems pretty obvious that somebody's done it once, there's less training required the next year round.
Yeah, you know, The days gone by of just pulling people off the street to go fight fire are long gone. And, you know, the reality of it is the higher you get up in the organization with different qualifications and trainings, you know, it's vital to keep those people around. A division supervisor, for example, can take, you know, 8 to 10 years by the time you get all the requirements and classes and trainings underneath them signed off and certified before they can get to that level. So it's a big commitment, and we take that pretty seriously. And that's really the big driver of our co-op program, is to retain those employees so we have them for the following year.
So do you get very many folks that are going to college, maybe they don't even know what they ultimately want to do, or maybe they do have a plan, but in the course of working for DFPA in the summer, make a shift and ultimately want to do something related permanently?
That's exactly how I got into this. You know, I started here as a seasonal firefighter at the time when I was 16 and had no thought of making a career out of this. Kind of right place, right time, I guess. Worked my way up through the ranks as an engine operator and a forest officer. And then this opportunity as a fire prevention and public information officer opened up. So when I started, I had absolutely no intention of making a full-time career out of this. And it's been an amazing ride so far.
So are most of the people working in this area on the younger side, especially the ones that work in the summer, or what's the age range for people that are working for DFPA and firefighting roles?
You know, a lot of our boots on the ground firefighters typically are younger people. You know, there are some requirements they have to pass to be the firefighter boots on the ground, and this is a national standard is the PAC test. So it's a 3-mile walk and 45 minutes with a 45-pound pack. So we have had and do have firefighters of all ages, but the primary bulk of them tend to be younger people, partially due to probably the demand of physical labor, and then partially due to just you know, the seasonality of the workforce.
So again, how heavy a pack and how far do they walk?
So yeah, so the pack test is a 3-mile walk in 45 minutes with a 45-pound pack.
Wow. And so normally, I mean, I do a lot of walking. I've talked about that. But normally, I don't walk quite that fast, and I certainly don't carry stuff around. That would be an interesting thing to try.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely interesting. You know, and it's a yearly thing, so all of our firefighters have to refresh annually with the PAC test.
Wow. So you can't just, it's not like a driver's license. You get it, you got it.
Yeah, it's not a one and done. Nope.
Wow. Back with more. We'll talk about fire season with Kyle Reed of DFPA and Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQE and Local Talk at 4. We'll talk about October being Domestic Violence Awareness Month with Melanie Kremer of Peace at Home Advocacy Center on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Kyle Reed, Fire Prevention Officer with the Douglas Forest Protective Association, talking about the end of fire season and the transition into the fall months. So now with smaller staff over time, what kinds of things are you involved in for the next few months?
Yeah, so, you know, there's, I don't want to say a break coming up. You know, obviously a lot of us, we can't take vacations or time off during fire season. So, you know, the next couple months, you know, through the holidays is typically when staff kind of get their downtime and after long summers kind of refresh and regroup. Once you get to about January, it's full steam ahead preparing for the next year. And it's, you know, making sure that fire cache is ready and the equipment's ready to go and the engines are ready. And we start all the way over with training from the new hires to advanced training. And it really ramps up once we get into January.
And I imagine one of the things you're looking at too is when you get to that point, is what the forecast is for that upcoming fire season. Obviously, the last few years have been fairly challenging, but this year, in the absence of a catastrophic giant fire like Archie Creek, like we had last year, how do our stats compare to other years?
Yeah, so coming off the heels of the 2020 fire season with Archie Creek and all the other Labor Day fires, this summer's been pretty deceiving. You know, here locally at DFPA, we started running on fires in mid-April. We had the Marshall's Place fire on April 20th, which was about 200 acres, which is pretty large for that time of year. We had the Mill Creek fire on June 1st. That was a little over 100 acres. And then it really never stopped. We were continuing to run on fire after fire after fire for a total of 145 fires. About 30 or 35 of those were lightning caused, and the remainder of those were all human caused fires. So total acres burned here on our district is a little over 7,000 acres or so. But it was a tough battle keeping a number of those fires fairly small. We had some, really good stops. We always have a aggressive initial attack component where we throw a lot of resources at fires to keep them small. We have a lot of help from our partners at the rural fire departments who bend over backwards to help us time and time again, in addition to, our industrial component. So we have a lot of industrial landowners around here who have a vested interest in seeing their lands not burn and be protected. And they assist with us in a number of different ways. Some of them have fire cache supplies. Their personnel, a lot of them have gone through fire training so they can help out in various different ways to heavy equipment and engines. So it takes a team effort. And, we've got the, unfortunately, with the number of fires we have here, large and small, we really have the game plan down, dialed pretty good.
So talk about that attitude of hitting things hard at the front end. I know over time I've gone out to some fires, depending on where they take place or how far away they are. And sometimes, honestly, I've been surprised at how many fire rigs I saw, or maybe even the use of aircraft for something that didn't seem that big to me. But what factors go into just how hard you hit it?
Yeah, so we kind of have pre-planned dispatches as long as the resources aren't committed on other fires. So based on different factors such as the fire danger level or if it's red flag warning days or different things like that, we have a pre-planned dispatch if a fire starts for different areas throughout the county. And, you know, from there we can modify that. You know, we can get there pretty quickly with the aviation resources. And a lot of times, you know, they're the first ones there and they can give us a really good size up from the air and let us know if we need to have more stuff coming or if, you know, they need more helicopters or whatever else. So we've always had that attitude. We want to, you know, keep the fires as small as possible, reduce the amount of loss, and also, you know, keep the dollar spent on suppression down as low as we can. Because in today's world, you know, fighting fire is not cheap, and it's getting more expensive every year.
So, well, you guys have your offices over by the airport. Is that where all the firefighters are ready to go from when they're on duty?
So we actually have three offices here throughout our district. So our main headquarters is here in Roseburg, and then we have unit offices, one outside of Canyonville and one up in Drain. And, you know, from there, we have our district broken up into 16 patrol areas, and we send our firefighters out throughout the patrol area. So, you know, they're responsible, you know, for that particular area, and they do prevention efforts and law enforcement calls and, you know, suppression efforts from there. So it's a lot of planning goes into it on the front end, you know, those all those plans are reviewed again in the off season to make sure that they're, you know, continuing to work how we need them to when the time comes. But again, it's the whole mentality of knocking those fires out before they can get established and become really big problems on the landscape.
And I know it's similar probably to a typical house fire, where if it takes the fire department 5 minutes to get there versus 10, the impact of the fire is going to change a lot. And if you didn't have the Drain area and the Canyonville area folks, it would be a lot different situation to get to a fire if it was in one of those outlying areas, north or south.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just like any other fire department, you know, when you got areas spread out, they'll have multiple stations, and that just reduces your response time. And you know, from there also, we have small fire caches at all those, so we don't have to come all the way back to Roseburg if we need another pump or more hose. So, you know, a lot of it really comes down to logistics and, you know, the needs of supporting our firefighters at the time.
So for people that are now transitioning into fall, you've talked about FireWise. Maybe that's a good time before we take off here from the interview to talk about that again for folks to look around and maybe consider getting their neighborhood, their community involved.
Yeah, so the reality of where we live here in Douglas County is we live in a fire area, and we've had fires on the landscape, and we will have fires in the landscape on the future. So it's important for homeowners and landowners to do their part ahead of time to help protect their home and their properties. And, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, defensible space work, reducing the amount of vegetation and fuels around homes and other outbuildings, you know, taking a look at what you store in those areas. You know, it's easy to take for granted, you know, storing, you know, the gas behind the shop and the propane tanks on the back porch and all those other things, firewood piles under the deck and whatever it may be. And a lot of the year, you know, it's probably not a huge hazard, but once we get into those summer months when it's hot and dry and all it takes is one spark to start a spot fire or a new fire, those are all the things we need to look at and really take a look at where they are and where they need to go. So that way, you know, your home's protected, your neighbor's home's protected, and your community is protected.
So if people need to find out more about the status of things right now, give them your website and how to get connected.
Yeah, so our website, dfpa.net, has current information as well as our social media accounts. And in our office, we can be reached at 672-6507.
Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.